In that moment, we're saying a yes to ourselves. We're saying a yes to taking up space. Another simple example of taking up space is when you are at a dinner, rather than feeling whatever you have to say is not as interesting or not as life-changing or not as exciting, still share it. Still share it and let yourself be surprised how much other people actually do want to hear what you have to say. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Purple Stars podcast. My name is Sarah. I'm your host. And today's episode, it actually makes me laugh, is something that I did not plan. Up until 12 hours ago, I thought I'm going to record an entire episode about self-worth. However, yesterday when I went to breath work, afterwards I was lying there and I thought to myself, actually, shouldn't be self-worth this episode. And then I thought, okay, great. If it's not self-worth, what else am I going to talk about? I literally have like 12 more hours to figure it out. And then yesterday I even felt, no, it's not the right day to decide. Let's decide today. And I sat down and took a breath and I asked my heart, what do you want me to share today? So I am going to take you on a little journey throughout my last 4 months. And I'm going to share with you what has moved me, what has inspired me, what has lifted me up, what has encouraged me to be more calm, to be more resilient, and also to have so much more fun along the way. So let's get started. One of the many things has been working out. And as some of you know, I was a competitive golf player during my teenage years. So working out, believe it or not, for those who don't play golf, working out has been a big part of my life. And it has been a really big part of my life until my grandmother passed away of cancer in 2018. And ever since, which means almost five and a half years, I've been trying my way of reconnecting with working out. And what's so interesting, the weeks before my grandmother passed away, I was doing so much yoga. I was even doing yoga while we were together at the hospital. And after she passed away, my body associated yoga with separation, yoga with loss, yoga with something bad. And it took me, I think, almost 8 months after her death to realize that, because every single time when I did yoga, I got really sick. And then there came a point I was like, wow, I'm going from like a active flow, and literally I went into yin yoga. And for those who are not so familiar with yoga, it's, you know, like you hold gentle poses and it's so you're not like sweating. It's all about introspection and like just, you know, releasing the tension. And even then I got sick and I thought like, how is it possible that when I'm just lying down in relaxing poses that I am getting sick? And through some inner work, I did a lot of tapping, which helps to tap into your emotions and understand the connections. I did a lot of journaling, and then I came to understanding, oh, wow, my body associates or is showing me that I associate yoga still with the hospital, with death, with loss. So it took me quite a while to build or to rewire and build again a positive association with yoga. And then once I had a more positive association, I had another layer that I had to tackle or that I was allowed to tackle, which was finding my way to a consistent workout routine. And I didn't have one, not because I was lazy or unmotivated, but because my body kept getting sick. And 2 months ago, I thought, okay, I'm giving this a complete different shot. This time, I'm going to a workout class, But I am going to really listen to my body, meaning if I can't do all the reps, that's fine. And if I could do all the reps, but if I feel my body then afterwards is struggling with it, I'm not doing it. And let me tell you guys, I've been to a lot of bar classes those 2 months, and I was one of the only women that wasn't using the weights during the first classes. And I felt a little uncomfortable the first time, but then I was like, no, I need to do me. I need to do it in the way that works for me. And also, I had to let go of the idea how my workout routine was prior. Because before my grandmother, my Lola, passed away, I was working out 5 times a week. And then the other two days, you know, like I was also like doing other things for my body. I was walking a lot. And I thought, no, I need to allow my body and myself to build a new relationship with working out. So I allow myself, you know, like doing, okay, less reps. And if I in between had to take a little pause for 10 seconds, that was absolutely fine. And what was so interesting, that was one workout class, we used resistance bands, and I was the only one not using the resistance bands. And then the teacher very kindly said, oh, if anyone doesn't need the resistance band, that's absolutely fine. And it was so funny. The second she said that out loud, 5 women dropped their resistance bands as well. And I thought, that's so great. You know, like it's also an inspiration for others that whatever the teacher is saying is an inspiration or it's a guideline. But the most important is to listen to our body. And of course, I'm a huge fan of stepping outside of our comfort zone and pushing ourselves, because that's where we are growing. But the intention during the first 3-4 weeks of building again a workout routine for me was to come again to a place where I can consistently work out, where I am pushing my body enough, but not overstretching my body. And I'm so grateful because it's been now 2 months that my body allowed me to consistently work out. And it's been, as you probably can hear in my voice, it's been such a joy. And I'm just so, so, so grateful that I came to the understanding of, just because my body could potentially do it during that 1 hour, all the reps, doesn't mean that I have to. And it's not just about working out, is not just about what we're doing in that one session, but it's also the mindset that we're bringing in, and it's the intention we're bringing in. And so I wanted to share that with you, because sometimes we push ourselves so hard or too hard, actually, and that's something that can get in the way of our progress. So I invite you, when you are also looking into establishing a consistent workout routine, whatever that looks like. It might even be for going for a morning walk, or, you know, like, or boxing or running or cycling or training for a marathon. It doesn't really matter what it is, but have the intention to really tune into your body, because your body is the friend. It's your team. It's your team, like the most important teammate, besides also the mind, on this journey. So don't just put your body on the, like, in the corner and be like, oh, you do what I tell you. Like, take some time to set intentions and to tune in, and allow yourself to also show up every workout differently. Because I had workout classes where I could do easily all the reps, but then there were workout classes. It was really hard for me, especially if I had, like, you know, not a great sleep, or if I had extra work, extra worries. So I came to the understanding, or it was actually a reminder, that when I am giving my all, and that day it is 7 out of 10 reps, I'm not giving 70%. I'm giving the 100% that I have that day. And yeah, it's been like such a game changer for me to come back to this understanding and really tuning in to my body. Another thing I want to share, I had Tana Olsen on the podcast. If you haven't listened to our episode, please do, because it was just so good. And one of his favorite mantras is walk a little slower. Walk a little slower. So whenever I caught myself running around, not just physically, but in my mind, and then like having meeting back to back and just trying to multitask everything, I really tune in. I took a breath and told myself, either out loud or just silently within, Sarah, walk a little slower. And the more often I kept telling myself that, the more I felt comfortable walking a little slower. So I want to extend that invitation to you, because in our society, we're so wired to go faster, to go higher, to do more. And whilst also here, it is so good to be ambitious and to have goals and to strive for more and to go the extra mile, walk the extra mile, it's important to remember to also walk a little slower. It's so important for our mental health. It's so important to also, as my grandmother used to say, smell the roses along the way. Because what's happening if we keep rushing through life all the time? It's a little bit like going with the fast train. You see the landscape, but how much do you see, or how much do you really get to enjoy compared to going by a slower train or by bicycle or maybe even walking a little bit? And I just, you know, like I feel like walking a little slower is also an invitation to not miss out what life has to offer. And sometimes we need to walk a little slower in order to really, truly being able to see what life has to offer, to hear what life has to offer, to smell, to feel, to taste it, to enjoy it, and also to receive it. So walk a little slower. And then recently, I read a really beautiful prayer. And before I'm sharing this prayer, I want to say, if you do not believe in God, or if you call God Allah, or you believe in Buddha, or you believe in angels, or you call it universe, or you're an atheist and you just want a comforting thought, I invite you to adjust the prayer in whatever way it resonates with you and it works for you. I even did this for myself. So the original prayer, I wrote it down and I thought, I want to tweak it a little bit. And I'm going to share with you the tweaked version by me. And it goes the following. I am not what I do. I'm not what I have. And I'm certainly not what people say or think about me. I'm a beloved child of God. And that's something no one can take away from me. There is no need to hurry. There is no need to worry, because life is my friend. And I'm here to whisper to your heart and extend the invitation of love to remember that you are not what you have. You're not what you do. And you're certainly not what people say or think about you. You are a beloved child of God, and that's something that no one can take away from you. There is no need to hurry. There is no need to worry, because life is your friend. And let's take a moment to pause and extend that invitation of love to those who we love and even to those who want to hurt us. Let this and let us be a reminder to them that they are not what they do, they are not what they have, because they also are a beloved child of God. And when we extend that invitation, we are a testimony to the power of building bridges rather than walls. Ah, isn't that so beautiful? It's quite tweaked by me. The original is much shorter, but I thought it's so beautiful to incorporate, you know, extending that invitation to others. And so what I've been doing, I've been telling myself on walks, I'm not what I do and I'm not what I have. And the reason why I wanted to share this today is because so often we are so focused on reaching our goals and walking our path and being of service that, whilst that is really important, sometimes we tend to forget we are not what we do and we are not what we have, you know? And I really, really, really felt that so much when I made the commitment to growing purple stars. And I shared that in my last solo episode, that by reducing my, or by making a decision to coach less, coach high performers less, and in order to be able to grow purple stars, I really felt low for quite a few weeks. And the reason why was because I identified my self-worth so much with being a coach for high performers. And that's one of the many reasons why this prayer so deeply resonates with my heart, because it's a constant reminder, and I think for high performers in generally, that we are not what we do and we are not what we have. And whilst it's so great, and we should be proud of what we have achieved and what we've worked hard for and all the harvest that has been there because of all the seeds we've been sowing with all the tears and the sweat and the blood, it's so important to not forget that we are human, you know, and that we deserve to be loved regardless of the title, regardless of the tournaments we are winning, regardless of how many downloads and likes, regardless of how much revenue a company makes per year, regardless of the thumbs up of people or the thumbs down. We deserve to be loved and we are who we are. So yeah, I hope you love the prayer as much as I do, because it's just, it so deeply resonates with me and it really fills my heart so much every single time when I say it out loud or even when I whisper it to myself. Another really, really, really big thing that has been on my mind and in my heart over the last months is taking up space. Taking up space, and for me, it's been a lot on the podcast. So when I initially started interviewing people, which was last year in October, and some of you might have noticed that, the interviews were interviews, but not as much of a conversation, especially the first 3-4 episodes. And what I mean by that is, like, I was asking the questions and I was asking more questions in between, but I didn't have much courage to take up the space to share really my thoughts or my experiences or memories, lessons. I was really like, I was scared to take up space. And I was very fortunate because I had a conversation with Kirsty Strain, who was also a great guest on our show. And she said, Sarah, this is your podcast. You can take up space. So I've been working on these layers. You know, I was doing lots of tapping and like affirmations and journaling and all the things. And I got like, I'm also very fortunate that I have a huge support from my family, from my friends and my team that like, you know, that are cheerleaders and supporters. And I just kept telling myself, you know, like what I have to say is as valuable as what my guests or our guests have to say. And we were a team. So, and it's amazing. The journey has been quite different because now it's a conversation rather than just an interview. And I feel I'm able to connect so much deeper, so much deeper with our guests. And then another layer, especially during the last months of taking up space, was solo episodes. Because let me tell you, and I actually need to take a breath. Solo episodes is a whole other level of taking up space than doing an interview or slash conversation. And it's been a journey for me to come to the point where I feel very comfortable doing a solo episode. And I am so glad that I kept pushing myself outside the comfort zone and I kept trying and trying and trying. In the beginning, it was like, you know, like 8 minutes, 10 minutes. And I want to encourage you to also take up space in your life. And you might be saying right now, Sarah, I don't have a podcast episode, a podcast. How am I doing that? You don't need a podcast to take up space. Taking up space can be in the simple things. It can be when you talk to a friend on the phone. You know, let's say you talk about 30 minutes. And if you're the kind of person usually only talks for 5 minutes throughout those 25 minutes about yourself, then I invite you to share a little bit more about yourself. Even if the other person might not be specifically asking questions, but allow yourself to take up space and also allow others then to come in and to know more about what's happening inside you. Another example of taking up space is the word no. If, you know, if Dr. Mark Bikoff said that very gracefully and amazing on his episode, often when we are giving so much, especially, you know, when you were advocating for something, there comes a point when our batteries are low. And as much as we would love to see people, we can't. And then there comes the point that we have to say, unfortunately, I can't come. And it's a no. In that moment, we're saying a yes to ourselves. We're saying a yes to taking up space. Another simple example of taking up space is when you are at a dinner, rather than like, you know, feeling whatever you have to say is not as interesting or not as life-changing or not as exciting, still share it. Still share it and let yourself be surprised how much other people actually do want to hear what you have to say. Share it. And there are so many ways. And once you start taking up more space in one area, you will feel more comfortable in another area. It will be in friendships. It will be in relationships. And I remember in my 20s, I would often do yoga and do poses where I would stretch, you know, like warrior two, and all these exercises where I felt I'm expanding my arms. And I would tell myself, I'm taking up space. And during a breathwork session, the instructor said something great as well. He said, if you want to have a big life, you got to allow yourself to be big. And he said, especially when we were inhaling. So there are so many little and bigger moments throughout the day where you can practice to take up space. And I want you to remember that it's safe to take up space. And I know that I'm in a very privileged position and that my life is not on the line when I am recording a podcast. And there are many people out there that don't have the freedom in their country to share what they want to share, or if they do, their life is on the line. But I want us to remember that it is, in most cases where you and I are right now, it is safe to take up the space and share what we have to say. Because so often we feel it's not safe to share it, like, oh, someone will reject us, someone will judge us, what would people think? But there's no real danger. There is no real danger. Like, the only risk is someone will not like us. But the truth is, our job is not to be liked by everyone. Our job is to be us and to take up space in our own life. So I want to invite you to take up space in the podcast of your own life. Share your voice. Share it and practice. Practice with people you trust in the beginning. And if you say, oh, I don't have anyone I trust, then practice starting taking up space in a journal and take it from there. And this brings me actually to my next lesson, maybe. And that is the season of waiting. I have been in a season of waiting so much over the last few months. So much. I've been waiting for lots of things in my personal life, in my professional life. And as much as I can share, is it's been things that were out of my control. So it's nothing that I could have worked harder for to speed it up. It's just, yeah, I had to wait. And in the very beginning, I cried up and I did not like it. And I was desperate and I thought to myself, well, if at least I knew until when I had to wait. And I kept thinking, it's a little bit like working out. It's like working out without knowing, okay, how many reps do I need to do? How long am I going? Should I push harder or should I like do a little slower? Because it probably takes much longer. And then I was sitting down and I kept thinking to myself, okay, rather than me focusing on the things that are out of my control, let me shift my focus. Let me shift my focus to the things that are in my control. And the very first thing is my mindset. And I've been telling myself, God is never late. God is never late. And I've been telling myself this all the time. And there were days that I did a prayer and I said, God, I know you're never late, but right now it's really hard for me to feel that. Please help me to feel it. And then I felt called to do an exercise, and that was really good. I wrote down as many things as that could come to my mind. Where looking back, I'm happy the day didn't happen earlier. And also why. For example, oh, if I had left earlier, I would not have met that person. Or, oh, thank God we recorded that episode later because there was something that I had to learn in between to really be all that episode needed in that moment. And it can be little things like, oh, good that I didn't leave earlier because then I wasn't stuck in traffic. And someone actually said also, which is a more obviously life-changing example, he read in a book that there was this lady, she really wanted to buy that house, like so badly. But just a few days before closing the deal, someone else outbid her and got the house. And she was so upset about the timing, of course. And then a week later, that house burned down. And I was thinking to myself when I heard that, that's really what it is. Like, we feel things are coming late merely because we are waiting. If we're in a rush, then we feel things are not fast enough. You know, like it's like, okay, we need to rush because I want this to happen now. And I've been there and it's really hard to wait, but I think in a season of waiting, it's so good to have a mindset that helps you to have an attitude of patience while waiting. And patience is not just waiting, but it's being okay with what is. And for me personally, it's been God is never late. God is never late, and really focusing on situations where I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, there were times where a meeting got postponed, a flight got postponed, you know, like where certain documents didn't come in time and all these things. Because look, in hindsight, that was exactly how it was supposed to be. And this actually brings me to something else that really, that actually is a great example for that. I went with our dog Felix on a walk, and that day he was very slow. He just wanted to sniff every single corner, and not just corner, every single tree. I felt like, okay, we'll never, never, ever get back home, but it's okay. Let's just, you know, take our time. And then for some reason, like, I was like, you know, Felix, where do you want to go back home today? Just, you know, give him a little option when it comes to our route. And interestingly, he was leading me to an avenue where I usually never walk down. And on our way down, like, he was really slow again. And then as we were waiting, and well, I was waiting more for him, a woman with two cute, and I'm telling, not just cute, the two cutest dogs was coming towards us. Two, you know, like their tails were wagging, two little poodles, and red brownish, like big eyes sparkling as if they'd just seen Santa Claus and just smiling and happy. And they were saying hi to Felix. And I talked to their dog mom, and we had a nice chat. And for some reason, we decided to also exchange phone numbers. And we have become so close during those 2 months, 2.5 months now. It actually makes me tear up because I am so deeply grateful for our friendship. It feels as if I'm found a long lost sister again. And the reason why I'm sharing this is for two little reminders. One is, if Felix was like walking his normal speed that day, who knows if we had met, you know? It's just, that's just the reality. And the other other reminder is, time doesn't necessarily determine the depth we can have with someone. I feel closer to her within those 2 months than to some people that I've known for 10 years or maybe even 15 years. So I want this to be a little reminder that when we are deeply connected with people, it can be in an instant. Sometimes it takes time to, like, you know, to grow it, to water it, and just, yeah. But sometimes it's instantly. So that's what I wanted to share. It's just, you know, time does not determine depth. And another thing that, while I'm just saying this out loud, is sometimes it takes us also to take different routes to come to different destinations. In that case, taking a different avenue to meet a different friend, a different kind of friend. So I invite you, you know, like, next time when things are slow, just be like, okay, I'm slowing down to probably receive what life wants me to receive. And it's interesting, while I'm just saying this a lot, I'm like, wow, today I have zero structure for this episode. Like, I'm talking about so many different things. Because usually we have like one topic when it comes to the solo episode. But I just thought it's so nice to share, you know, like, because everything I've said so far, which is my different approach to working out, the invitation of Tanner Olson to walk a little slower, the prayer, which is, I'm not what I do, I'm not what I have, you know, I'm a beloved child of God. Also, the taking up space, and then the season of waiting, and also the time doesn't determine the depth we have with someone. These have all been experiences and reminders and things and moments that have helped me to be more calm, to be more resilient, and to have way more fun, because I'm so much more calm because I keep telling myself God is never late. And I've just, like, especially over the last 4 months, I've noticed that sometimes a lot of my anxiety comes from wanting things to be faster, wanting things to, like, come in fruition ideally already yesterday. And ever since, I'm more focused on loosening the grip, on loosening the grip on my own timeline and allowing things to come naturally in their own season rather than in the season that I want them to. Just brings me, while I'm even like saying this, it relaxes my body. It really relaxes my body. And it's the very same thing with like walk a little slower. It's something that really helped me also to be so calm. And what has helped me to also to be more resilient is, you know, challenging myself, whether it's like taking up more space in my podcast or also working out or, you know, having this constantly working on my mindset of trusting God and trusting life. It has helped me to be more resilient and to, rather than having expectations how things should be and how I should be, to let go of them, to let go of certain expectations, whether it's how a workout class should look like, how much I should get done that day, and how solo episodes should look like. Because even today, it's like completely different. And also, yeah, it's just, that's really what it is. And something that really has helped me also to be more calm is sharing what I feel more. For example, during this episode, you know, like if something makes me suddenly uncomfortable while I'm saying it out loud, rather than being like, oh, let's edit that out. No, because the truth is I would only edit it out because I'm scared of rejection. And if that's the reason, then I do not want to edit it out. So, and along the way, I have so much more fun, because I also said in the beginning, I have so much more fun because I am, you know, there's less tension and less stress and less anxiety. So while I'm slowing down, you know, I have time to enjoy things. And really, I've been laughing so much over the last 4 months. And I must tell you, behind the scenes, there have been a lot of things in my personal and professional life that have been really hard and very challenging. But because of the certain mindset that I'm really cultivating, and it's a muscle that I have been practicing, and that not I can just practice, but you too, I've just, you know, like I feel freer and I have like more energy to enjoy life even more. And I know I was already quite bubbly and everything before that, but now I feel like it's just like more a consistent flow of joy. And yeah, whether it's for my body, my mind, my soul, my relationships, and also work, of course. And it's just, it's so amazing. And that's also one of the reasons why I have decided to take a summer break with our podcast. We'll be back mid-September. And the reason, or there are a few reasons why I decided to take a summer break. And it's funny because actually my hands get a little sweaty, because there was a moment I was like, wow, what if people forget about us? What if then they're not interested in our podcast anymore? But the truth is, we need a little break to reflect. You know, we've been growing so fast and so much. And whilst this is really great, sometimes there is very little time to fully reflect, to really re-evaluate, you know, the things that we want to continue doing, things that we want to improve, things that we want to implement, and things where we're maybe like, we should probably tweak it a little bit. And summer for me will be a season of RE, meaning anything that starts with RE, whether it's relationships, reflecting, resting, reconnecting, recharging, rekindle. So there are so many words, and I wrote down an entire list because I was like, yeah, this summer is my summer of REs. And that's what I maybe invite you to do the same. I had a meeting to someone with an Italian this morning, and most Italians in the summer, they really know how to enjoy life. They are on break. They, and obviously not all the time, but they enjoy summer. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I want for my team as well, that we take a time to reflect, to be proud of ourselves, because so often we climb this mountain for hours and hours and hours and hours. And then once we're on top, how much time do we really spend on the top to enjoy the view, to really capture that moment, to be proud of ourselves? Because most of the time we're we're turning around, walking down, thinking about the next mountain to go. Or we're like, oh, let's do the same mountain, but we need to do it much, much faster. And this didn't work out well. And so I want this to be a little reminder that, let's be proud of ourselves. Let's take a moment to reflect and also to rest and recharge, because we need this. Like Mark Bikoff said in his podcast, he works hard, he plays hard, and he rests hard. So that's what we'll be doing. We worked hard and we want to rest hard and play hard more, especially during August, and focus a lot on nourishing relationships, nourishing our bodies, resting and recharging. Well, guys, it's been a journey, this podcast episode. I hope there's been one or the other message that you can deeply resonate with, and something that you think can help you also to feel more calm, to be more resilient, and to have more fun in life. We'll be back mid-September with some really exciting new episodes. And I can't wait to be back. And if you have any guest requests or topic requests, send us an email or send us a message on Instagram. And I hope you get to enjoy summer wherever in the world you are, and take good care of yourself, and give a big kiss to all your furry animals.